Last night, and somehow I wasn't in the mood of the parasha yet, of course. So I sat down, I made a list. I had noticed over the years, the Sefer Derech Sicha I enjoyed. Somebody left, was it you? Someone left one here on the table and it was printed. And I noticed over the years, the Sefer Derech Sicha is a Sefer, someone who spent time with Chaim Kanievsky and wrote some of the things he saw. And I realized over the years that there were a lot of things that I had heard from Rav Palm, which I wondered about, and mostly in the Mahalach HaChaim type of things that you all find in typical Tshuva Svarim. And I had seen in Derech Sicha the same Shaila, and invariably with the same Hachra. So I tried to make a list. It's pretty good because I came up with 10 such things. And so I'd like to go through them. There are various inyanim that I think are of general interest. And then I'd like to point out probably a more kolistic idea that's shoving all 10. So let's see if we have enough time for all 10 of them. Some are quicker, some are not so quick. There's only one of the volumes of Derech Sicha downstairs for me to be able to bring it up, but I guess you have to trust me on the rest of them. There's a shaila regarding the chasen. As you know, a chasen during the Sheva Brachas week, the Shiva Simei HaMishta, is not allowed to go out without a shomer. The reason for the shomer, there are actually two reasons for a shomer, because he's daimel melech, and it's also considered a tzarech shmira, kashmai kein hu. So the shaila was, during the Sheva Brachas week, whether to go to minyan if you don't have a shomer. If you prepare ahead of time, you arrange to have a shomer. But sometimes a person didn't prepare properly, or the shomer doesn't show up, or in the winter, mincha, where you have to go out in the middle of the day. So Rav Palm told me when I was a chasen, he told everybody that if you don't have a shomer, you still go to minyan during the week of Sheva Brachis. And he said, Shema mitzvah layeda dovara. He said that that pasuk, that going for a mitzvah is a selfish meal. So whoever asked me about it, I just told him, Rapam said that, and that's what I would tell Chassanim. But libi mefakfek, because I know, most people I tell don't know, that there's a sma in his Pirush on the Torah that seems to say the opposite. That seems to say not to go out during Sheva Brachas week for minyan. The Rav Palm seemed to hold it was very important to start married life with the wife knowing that the husband goes out to minyan. But here in the second volume of Derech Sicha on page Tuf Lamed Beis, he brings to the Chazon Ish, quote, the Chazon Ish savar shel tefila mutar lechasen leilech yechidi mishum shema mitzvah leyeda davarat. Exactly what Rav Palm had said. It's not halacha safe. It doesn't bring the sman and say why he's arguing, he's not arguing. He holds maybe it's different in a city and not in a city. I don't know the shak of the tarya. But what?
On the way back.
I guess Seifer Mishum Tchilasai. Simechesishtei. That's good. You know, the Gemara in Pesachim has any boya. If Shluchim Mitzvah Nizakin is the Chazarasan, they're only Bali Chasa. But Stami means you could come back. I'm not sure. Indoors, it doesn't say anywhere you can't be alone. It's only Hadach L'shuk, so it needs a shomer. So he goes outside, needs a shomer. Inside, the male of the two of them, but there's no Indian of shomer there. What? Everyone's makbir, not going to minyan?
No.
Oh, white people are makbir? I don't know if people are makbir. It doesn't come up, because it doesn't cut usually together. When does it come up? What? Okay. Anyway, I think So it was nice to see it. I'll add Derech Agav that the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchis Nefilas Apayim, Hilchis Tachnun, says that a chassan shouldn't go to daven with a minion because he's mafsid the minion that tachnun. He causes them to lose tachnun, so he shouldn't go there. He's going to cause them to lose tachnun. He's mafsid them. So when I was a chassan, I asked Rav Moshe about this. If you have to not go to minion because you mafsid the tachnun, I was going to ask him if I could go and not tell them I'm a chassan. And they'll say tachnun, and you know, like it won't. So he asked Ramesha about this Mishnah Berurah. So he said he doesn't understand the Mishnah Berurah. Chassan, the week of his wedding, shouldn't get, have Kedusha and Kaddish and Yeshmi Rabba. It's such an important week, it's hard to understand. So he said, Ulai, he said with Derech Ulai, he said, maybe the Mishnah Berurah is talking by a minion where they'll be angry at you for being mafsidem the tachnun. It's a minhag haveri dikah thing. You're going to be upset. You come in, you make them lose the tachnun. So he said to me, if I could find a minion where they won't be upset, that I should go. So I was able to find such a minion where they're not upset. As a matter of fact, I very often think that Goyim think they know Hanoa Ilam Hazeh. The feeling that you're up to Tachnun on a Thursday and there's a chassan, like they'll never have that simcha, you know. It's like but anyway, kidding aside, this is one hachra that I heard from Rav Chaim, and I see here not only b'shem Rav Chaim, but I see b'shem the Chazon Ish. There's a second topic which I had mentioned many times for the Shaila Shabbai, that Kadosh Baruch Hu blessed me with sons. I had one son, a second son, a third son, a fourth, a fifth, and then a sixth. And then I had seven sons. I still didn't have a daughter. So I asked Rav Palm, Shaila, there's the Hirotzen that many people say, the Ramban's Hirotzen, on the Leil Tashmish. It's Hirotzen to have good children. And the Hirotzen comes with a Nusach that Hashem should give me Banim Zacharim. That's the Lashon. So I told Rav Palm, I don't have a personal preference this way or that way, as long as the child is healthy. But maybe al tzipur revu, I should be obligated to daven for a nikeva, because my mamon hashav. If davening doesn't do anything, why am I wasting my time? I'm doing it. Say I feel the pail. Davening does something. So I'm mechuyev to mekayim a mitzvah to say pur revu after whatever I could to be mekayim a mitzvah. So the chayra I should have to daven for the nikeva. So Rav Palm said to me, "Bahadi kashi derachman olam alach. Don't mix into God's business. You just daven, and the Ramban wrote that nusach. Let's just say that nusach." He said, "Don't mix in. If you told me to mix in, maybe I would have had a girl after three boys." Anyway, he told me don't mix in, and I really didn't understand it. I still don't really fully understand. I don't understand. If I have a mitzvah, why don't I daven to do the mitzvah? I daven for gashmistic things. Why shouldn't I daven for ruchnistic things? It's a hard thing to understand. Somehow I didn't feel so comfortable pushing the issue because Rav Palm never had daughters. He only had sons. So I let it go. And I've wondered about it over the years. Later, I saw in the first volume of Derech Sicha on page Nun Zayin that someone asked Reb Chaim the same question. Reb Chaim said, "Hashem yaseh hatoy beinav." You don't tell God aitzes. Don't tell God aitzes. I still don't fully understand, but okay. So you have one nidahin for chasana, and one for regards to Pur Revu.
What about
Yerushan? He should have sons, or sons should have sons? It says, the Lashon Yerushan, you should have sons, and you should have a Neshama Kedaisha, and you should be asked to tell Shema, Mekayim Nisuch Yisrael, you write this Tukal HaChesed, there's a whole Nusach. But it starts with Ben Zachar. The third regarding Shaduchim, is that Rav Palm very much discouraged people for pushing a shidduch if it didn't go smoothly because the day wasn't a good day. So everybody, sometimes you don't have a good day, but an occasion where the Meshudeches doesn't want, he said that you don't push it, let it go. I remember a maisa that happened here. One Sunday morning I came after my shir in yeshiva, and there was a fellow in yeshiva who was already engaged. And when I came into yeshiva, he was waiting for me, and he spoke to me that the night before, he got a message to end it. He didn't know what to do. He had no clue that there was any problem. So I told him, "What are you asking me? Go to Rav Palm." So in those years, Rav Palm was here in the year for mincha in the whole afternoon. In the morning, he wasn't here. So he went to his house. Rav Palm said, "Say Baruch Petrani and get on with life. Don't push it. You're going to push it. It's not going to be good." So, and I've seen this in general, that Rav Palm said, "Don't push it if it doesn't go. If it doesn't go, meaning if the other side doesn't want, you know, don't push yourself in where you're not welcome. You know, to get into a shidduch, you're a b'di'evid, don't push it." So I see here in the second volume of Derech Sichah, Shinayin Aleph, he says b'shem Reb Chaim, "Shidduch sh'amru alav loy," in quotation marks, loy with an aleph, "Shidduch sh'amru alav loy, ein l'shtadl yaseh b'zeh." So again, I see that this is the advice Reb Chaim gave. Exceptions to every one of these types of things. It could be exceptions, but again, now this one I wondered about, because I know that Rav Palm pushed his own shidduch. Rav Palm's shidduch didn't go smoothly, and I wasn't there at the time. But I know he pushed, so it's one thing to tell people don't push it. So I don't know, I once suggested a pshat. I had a kasha, a chumash kasha. There's a famous part from Chaim Shmulevitz that why Basya Basparai stuck out her hand to get the baby. It was a miracle, her hand stretched. But why did she stick out her hand? What was she thinking? So Chaim Shmulevitz has a famous word that if it's important, you just try. Even if you can't do it, you have to push. You have to try. You have to try something. It's a famous thing from Chaim that it's important, just push. Try to do something, even if it needs a miracle to work. That seems to be a stira to Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is in the end of Emunah B'Tochen. He says, by Yosef was punished for telling the Tsar, which one lived? The Tsar Mashkin, the Tsar Eifin. Remember? Huh? Which one lived? Huh? Tsar Mashkin. You have a way to remember? So Tsar Mashkin lives, right? So he told the Tsar Mashkin that it was a Chartan. You should tell Paroi to remember me. So he's punished. He's punished. So why was he punished? Is something wrong? So Chazanish says, a person is only supposed to do normal ishtadlis. Normal ishtadlis you do. But to think that a Tsar in Paroi is going to think about a Nar Ivri in the jail, it's pushing too hard. Ishtadlis means normal ishtadlis, not pushing hard. So is it a stira? Because the Nish says that Yosef pushed too hard. Chaim Shmulevitz says, no, you're supposed to stick out your hand. You need a miracle, but you're supposed to try. It's a stira. What's the answer? She's lying on a person, and she was hoping for a nes. I was thinking a different thing. I was thinking, it depends for what. For gashmiyistika things, you don't push. You do a normal shtadlus. You want to get out of jail? Do a normal shtadlus, and that's everything else is b'tach. But for mitzvahs, for davar shebikdusha, to save a baby. Save a baby, you try anything you could. So maybe the same thing with shidduchim. Depends why a person's pushing a shidduch. If you're pushing a shidduch, because of Dvar Shabikdusha. So maybe if you see something that's uniquely Kaddai, you see a push. Maybe that's why Rav Palm pushed. But Stamazai to push for other reasons, maybe not. Alright, so we have these three to begin with. Let me go on to another set of issues that are important. A yard site is a minig. On a yard site, you go to a kever. There are many people who take their vacation the week when they have a parents' yard site, they're buried in Eretz Yisrael, and they fly to Eretz Yisrael to go visit the kever on the yard site. So Rav Palm was matmiya, and he said in his shmuzen sometimes, he doesn't understand. People spend hours going someplace to visit a kever on a yard site. Wouldn't the neshama rather that you sit and learn those few hours? If they spend money to go flying somewhere, wouldn't the money be better spent helping a poor family? Like, what does the neshama need you to visit for what? Now the first yard site, it's Borei Minig in the Ramban to visit. They don't know anything about the other yard sites. So Rav Palm was matmiya, and so again, you know, I had a little pikpukim on it. Like the Minig is to go on the yard site, and who knows what in the neshama? We understand you light a candle, the neshama has something from it. Like it's very hard to shuts up what the neshama gets exactly. So all the years I didn't have any shaila, because my mother's Ozan Gesund always wanted to go to my father's kever on the yard site. So after Kibbutz, my lichay, my vi, I had to go. Last year, the first time that it was my father's yard site, and my mother wasn't well enough to go, so I didn't go. My mom said, better to sit and learn. So that's what I did. But I wondered about it. Then I saw in Derech Sicha, in the first volume, page Tavkov Zayin, he says it in very strong lashonis. He says Talmud Torah is more important. And you think that the Shama isn't happier if you sit and learn? Shama's happy if you sit and learn. He writes there, what about someone who's not a masmid? He's not going to sit and learn. So he's not a masmid. Sit and learn, let him go. Why? Because he shouldn't become more gold to be mezalzel and minhagi klal Yisrael. He doesn't even say it so strongly, let him go. So shaloyavi lezalzel and minhagi klal Yisrael. But it's interesting. Again, it's something that I heard. It's not the type of thing you really see tshuvas and tshuvas farim about. It's on haga. And Agav, he writes the same thing about other similar things. If you want to see there, in Chelak Aleph Tufkof Zayin, he has a few such shaylas along these lines. So that's four. What? Yeah, you'll see. I'll give you a chance to look it up. The Chelam is a mitzvah, and it's a Tzief Shei
De'echer. Don't they need ever to go, or...?
You know, it's a funny thing. I can't say there's no way to go, because the Ramban says the first year you should go. The Ramban brings that you should go the first year at the day of Shiva, the day of Shloshim, and the day of the Yartzeit. It's brought the Taz in Hilchus, I believe it's a Taz in Hilchus Avelis. What? No, that's only the first year. That's not Bekfura, and the first year. Afterwards they go. No, I think. So then halach, it's brought to go on Tisha B'Av and to go on Rosh Hashanah if it's walking distance. It doesn't have to do with a parent's kever. It has Chayuk and a Levi. There's an Indian to go to Kfar. Another issue which I don't know. I heard it from Rav Palm, and I see the Velt didn't do it. When there's a tzara, any type of tzara, tzibur dik tzara, yachid type of tzara. So Rav Palm was very adamant in saying that you can't say a reason. We don't have Nevi'im today. You can't give reasons. You can't give reasons. It's very popular today, people who say reasons, at the Chassidish circles for sure. And in general, you know, it's very popular. You say, I have this problem, you know, gotta do this, gotta do that. You go to find some etzah what to do. So, it's a very popular thing. But Rav Palm was very stark. He said, if something happens in your life, you don't know why, you feel from Shemayim there's a tree on you. He said, fix those things that you know you have to fix anyway. Those things, you can't figure out the reason why. But there are things that you have in your life that you have to, you could do better. Those are the things that you should fix. But to say that because it happened this way, that way, you can't say reasons. So Gradon, after 9/11, I spoke about this thing there, Rav Palm said, and I pointed out to people that after 9/11, whoever had a pet peeve anyway said 9/11 happened because of that. So Lamashal, you know, the Lashon Hara, the anti-Lashon Hara army, which is the Kedoshim, they said it happened because of Lashon Hara. They had all kinds of reasons. Shmuel Birnbaum said because of Hasmada, because there's not Hasmada. That's why. Right. So Shmuel Birnbaum said before it even happened, you know, all because of Hasmada. And you know, the Tznius people said it's because of lack of Tznius, of course. So you could tell that's the reason it happened, etc., etc. So everyone was saying the things they say anyway, but they found reasons to tie it in. So, you know, Ahuvim Alai, the words of Rav Palm, that don't start to make cheshbonos. In Derech Sicha, in Chelek Aleph, page Tav Reish Lamed Dalid, they asked Rav Chaim this, and he writes, he's quoted, Ein Yadu Alonu Devarim Elu, we can't know reasons. We can't know reasons. When he tells people Eitzis, people come to him. I know somebody who had a serious cancer, and Rav Chaim told them, learn Hilchus Treifus. Gladly, he's a friend of mine from Yeshiva from years ago, and he did it. He threw himself into Hilchus Treifus, and that's what he did. So Chaim didn't say it happened to you because you didn't learn Hilchus Treifus. He gave Eitzis, something related to it, to you know, someone who went to have problems walking. He told him, learn Hilchus Regel Berego. So, find things. He didn't say that. That's the reason. That's on Chelet volume Aleph, Tav Reish Lamed Dalet.
It's not the reason that somebody is saying also it's not the cure.
He said it should be a source. No one can tell you it's a cure. No one can tell you you'll be cured. When people say you'll get better, it's not. It's just not so. A personal thing that I had a taina, I didn't understand the taina. I'm a taina, but I didn't understand Rav Palm's hanhaga. Rav Palm didn't allow Talmid to be mishamishim. He didn't allow Talmid to be mishamishim. There was a time, not in his final illness, but about 10 years earlier, where he had a disease. He had to go for radiation. And I wanted very much to drive him to the hospital, to accompany him, to do the shamashim. So during this man, I knew he wouldn't really let me take off from Seder. But if it came Ben Azmanim, so I told Rav Palm, oh, it's Ben Azmanim, I'd like to take it. So I took Rav Palm once to Manhattan, to the hospital. He had his treatments, and I drove him back. So when he got back, I walked him to the door, and then he said to me, I know you wanted to do it, so I let you do it once. But that's it. You should be sitting and learning. You should be sitting and learning. I know it was my driving. But I told him, you know, the Gemara says, God bless you, we'll show you a limudai. The very strong lashon in the Gemara. It says, Amineas says, Tamida Malasham Shai is my name, Imenu Chesed. I don't understand it. The Palm said, he doesn't want. He doesn't want. In general, he didn't let people do the Shamashim. So it was a little bit of a mystery. It's not like it says. In the first volume of Derech Sicha, on page Tav Kuf Ayin Gimel, he brings b'shem his father, b'shem b'shem Rav Shach, that they didn't let, if they couldn't do something, then they let people do it for them. But they didn't let people be mishamish. And it's interesting, the reason, if I understand correctly, is they felt it might be Gneivas Das. People think that Amethus is a big Talmud Chacham, and not such a big Talmud Chacham. The mishamish me. It sounds like they felt like it's Gneivas Das to, I think that's the reason. So again, I had hard to understand that, like, it's a Gemara. But here, yeah, it's interesting that these two are the same. What? The final illness was already different at the end. It was already much more complicated. This house was already Rosh Hashanah, you know, it was already, you had the big Askanim, the Klal Yisrael Askanim that were busy. They weren't sitting and learning anyway. So it was just a different stage of his life. There's one Indian which I'd like to tell you. I'm not tasking for anybody, but very interesting. There are end of life shaylas. There are people who are very, very sick. The shayla, withholding treatment, treating, it's a very one of the most difficult things. Got no tshuvas pretty much, because this is all relatively new, that medicine could prolong people's lives where they really have no chance of recovery. A person could recover. You have to treat him. You have to save his life. The question is, if someone is terminally ill, he's going to die, and they could prolong his life, he's suffering. Whether it's the right thing to do or not the right thing to do. And there are tremendous chiluke deis in this inyan. Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg held to one extreme, that you have to do whatever you could, everything, even for a minute or a second, you have to do whatever you could. This is the way I understand. So his nephew told me that was his shita. And the other extreme, there are people who say, nobody says nothing, but to do almost nothing, to do very little if there's no hope. So Rav Pom didn't like to pass the shaylos. Dinei nefashos, so I followed him. I also didn't, when people asked me, I told them I'm afraid of dinei nefashos. So Rav Pom heard that I was telling people that, so once he called me in, he told me, I'm a Rosh Hashiv, I don't have to answer. You're a Rav, you have to follow him. You have to answer them. So I told him, I'll answer them if you tell me what to answer. So it's interesting, Rav Pom had a shita. Until I saw in Der HaSicha, I didn't know anybody else who has the shita. I know they hold this way and that way. Rav Pom's shita was that as long as a person is mentally capable of doing one mitzvah, even one mitzvah, you have to keep him going. You can say Shema in the morning, you have to keep him going. It says in the Mishnah, Yofa Sha'achas, Mitzvah Samaisim Tevim, Ba'il Mazem, Mekol Chayei Olam Haba. You're going to cheat a person. That's it. A person's ill at the end of his life. This last chance, the chaparai mitzvahs. After that, the door's shut. Once a person dies, he can't do more mitzvahs. So Rav Pom said that as long. No, a person in a coma, when they put tefillin on people in a coma, it's a narishkeit. It's not. Yeah. But you can do it. You can be mekayim mitzvah. You can still be mekayim mitzvah. You keep the person going. And if not, I found over the years, this is why I tell people, and I found over the years, it's also ketzas nechama. Because people feel bad, their parent is suffering, and they're keeping them going, they feel bad. But they're able to say a bracha, it gives them a ketzas nechama, that there's a purpose in it. The whole problem, you feel bad, there's no purpose, why is he suffering? Give it a purpose, they feel better. There comes a point where someone is in a coma and no hope of recovery. So then the opposite, Rav Pom held the opposite shita, with limitations. I'm not coming to teach you how to paskin these things. But. So it's interesting, in the Der HaSicha Chelek Aleph, page Tuf Reish Chav Vav, Rav Chaim Knievsky is quoted as saying, Afilu yachol la'anois chad amein. Sometimes a person is so sick he can't say Shema or a Bracha, but Amen he can say. Amen is easy. So there he says, even if you can answer one Amen, that you keep him going. Keep you can go.
So
what? If he's not terminally, if he's terminally ill, then he can't do mitzvahs. So that would be the second category. If he's so what did I do? I told you three simcha related: the chasen, sheva brachis, and the puravu, and shiduchim. And three, I guess, from the other part of life, yard sites, and when he was ill, not being mishamish, the end of life, that's six, and the shastara, seven. It's very interesting. Rav Palm told me, I think he told me, b'shem Rav Shach, that once you get involved in a mitzvah, you don't have to get involved. Sachit Sibur, Bitachaylim, whatever you're involved in. That you don't have to get involved. You don't have to get involved in all the mitzvahs. But once you start something, you should stick with it. Once you saw you're in something, you should stick with it. You don't make a neder. I don't mean if someone makes a neder, there's no choice. But a person takes a certain zahirus in something, but once you take it, you should you have to stick with it. I think if I recall correctly, Rav Palm, after Rav Moshe's Patira, they made Rav Palm the Nasi of Tinach Atzmai. And after a period of time, it was a drain on his time, and he wanted to have somebody else take over. So he told me that Rav Shach sent him a message that a zakein ve'en lefik fayda doesn't have to pick up an aveda. If you're going in the street, there's somebody that's not lefik fayda to pick up. You're walking in the street, you see a television. I'm going to pick up a television and carry it on. Ve'en lefik fayda. Or you see a lost poodle. And here we can see with Goyim, even it's a yiz. It's got a mug and dove on the back. You're not going to pick it up. Ve'en lefik fayda. Unless you like poodles, I'm not saying tamachach, I'm not machayim. But the halacha is, once you pick it up, you know I'll put it down. Once you pick it up, you know I can't put it back. So Rav Palm quoted that in this regard for once you start an inyan, you don't put it down, even if you're not machayim to start it. In the first volume of Derech Sicha on page Tav Kuf Nun Dalet, they have a beautiful beautiful maisa. They're quoting, I don't know if Chaim quoted this from one of the Gedolim in Europe. Maisa Shahaya. Somebody owned a house, and there was an almana with children, with tenants in the house, and the almana couldn't pay rent. So the landlord said, you know, you can't pay rent, I'm going to evict you. So he said about motions to evict this almana. So people are tainus to him. They said, are you going to evict an almana with Yisayman? So the man said, look, you're right. An almana and Yisayman in the street is terrible. Let's say the rent is $1,000 a month. So I'm ready to give $100. You give $100, you're telling me, Musa? I'll give $100 a month, you give $100 a month. Like whoever told him, how could you do it? He said, I'll be a shutif with you. I'm mukhayyiv, because they happen to be in my house, I'm mukhayyiv to lose $1,000 a month. Let's get together, lose $100 a month. So they took him, or he went to ask if he's right. So they bring there this idea that once you start with something, you don't put it down. They bring a raya from a Taisvis, which is in Bava Basra, as well as in Kedushin, in the first parak in Bava Basra. It's the Gemara really says that somebody who has a chati eved, chati ben chayim. If two people buy an eved, they never get married, never nivri. You take never kanani. You have a guy and you buy him, you table him. Never kanani is a Jew. Who can he marry? Shifcha. If one of the two shifchim frees him, now he can't marry anybody. He can't marry a shifcha because he's a mechayr and he has 50%. He can't marry a Jewish woman, he's an eved. So the Gemara says we force the father, the other, to free him. Why? because Laisayu Baral, Lashavis Yitzara, it's a mitzvah gedayla. So he asked, it's a mitzvah gedayla that everyone chip in. That it's worth $1,000, that everyone chip in $100. Why do we first do Adin to free him? So the Vice dies, that when someone is in a matzav where the mitzvah affects him personally, it's his mitzvah. He can't throw it on other people. So anyway, this idea is brought there, and so I told you 8 out of 10. I want to it's interesting, I don't think I found things that says the opposite and I left it out. These things that are all shikala das, I mean, I didn't do an exhaustive study, but I realized something that's a dava hashav in all of these things. All of these things, come out of all of them, is a question, they're all questions of weighing one cheshbon against another cheshbon. A chassan, he's supposed to have a minion, that's one cheshbon. You don't go out alone, that's another cheshbon. So you have to be able to put it on a scale and say, you know, which is more, which is more. The person has a shidduch, it looks right. They don't want it, you have to shtub. So it's a question, they're all shikol hadas questions. They're not very hard to find a technical psak halacha on these things. They're more or less, they're shikol hadas. The things are weighing one cheshbon against another cheshbon and trying to know which is the which is more. So I thought about it and I realized that all decisions in life, all decisions that we struggle with are shikol hadas. And there's some things that are not shikol hadas. You wake up in the morning, you go davening. There's no kinegdai. Kinegdai is the yetzara. Yetzara stay in bed. Yetzara type. So you go. Hopefully. But the things we struggle with that we ask Eitzes are usually shikol hadas, weighing one thing against another. And that's where we struggle to a great degree in Avodas Hashem. We weigh chesed and learning. It was Margalah Bapume. Whenever I wasn't sure, I should go to a Levaya, not go to a Levaya, stay in Yeshiva, I should go to a Chasna, not go. Rav Pam always said, "Malaren tap in Yishcharata." If you're not sure what to do, it's a Shikol Hadas. If you learn, you're safe. If you learn, you're safe. The Yetzer wants the other way. But by and large, these types of decisions are Shikol Hadas decisions. What job to take? What job to take? One job pays more, but the environment isn't so good. One pays less, and it's a Yiddish environment. It requires a shikol hadas. It's not an easy thing to weigh the two sides and to come to a decision. Shidduchim is also, everybody who gets engaged, gets married, there are compromises in something. You weigh one thing against another. You're always compromising something. No intelligent person finds exactly what he wants. Sometimes when 18-year-olds get engaged, they're sure they found everything they want. When they get married, they find out the truth. No shidduch is everything you want. It's everything is you weigh one thing against the other. Shikol hadas. A person always has negius when he's deciding. For someone else, you can see things clearly. For yourself, a person always has negius in shikol hadas. And I guess in these areas, mainly the ones, a number of them, where I heard things from Rav Pam, and I wondered if the shikol hadas is so. You know, who knows? The mace enjoys if you visit the cabin. The mace doesn't enjoy. There are plenty of stories about the mace enjoying. Halacha doesn't say anything clearly. So you're sure the mace would rather you learn instead of visit the mace? Yeah. So it's a certain shikol hadas that's required, a certain weighing one against the other. So shikol hadas, that's why we need Ziknei Hadar to make a shikol hadas to help us. The truth is, when you have your own negius, it's always very, very hard. I think it's a good thing when you struggle with decisions to try to figure out what the Yetzer Tov is saying. Sometimes you struggle with a decision. People tell me, I say, well, which is the Yetzer Tov, which is the Yetzer Hara? Sometimes it's clear. You know, you have excuses, but it's the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara is not it. sometimes, even at the Eitz HaTov side, you have two cheshbonos, you know, which is more important. But to be able to assess how a person goes about making decisions, that's something that I realized with this. I'm just going to end. There's one, my favorite stira between the Derech Sicha and his father, the Steitler. In Derech Sicha, on Chelek Beis, Shin Samach Tes, Reb Chaim was asked, if someone shtered a man's shidduch, he was ready to get engaged. Someone shtered it, someone messed it up. Do you have to be meichel him? That's a shayla. Shayla is, if someone does damage to you, you don't have to be meichel. Reb Chaim writes very stark in a few pieces here, E.F. Shalat Kalkal Shidduch. No one can mess up your Shidduch. Tagid Loi Shechaveira Mi Oilam Loi Kilkal Loi Veloi Yezikai. The person who messed up your Shidduch, he didn't mess up anything. It wasn't going to happen. Who also Avla Mitzaratzma Mitzidai Yisnaika. Avazel Loi Shayach Lamasha Shidduch Loi Nasa. You might see it very, very stark that it's impossible to mess up someone's Shidduch. He says, you know, if the Shidduch is supposed to be, so you ask information from the people who like the girl. The shidduch is not supposed to be, then you don't. He writes in very strong lashonis, no one can mess up your shidduch. That's what he writes. A few places he says it. It's always bothered me because of a beautiful letter from the Steitler in the Krain of Dignesa. It's a Chelek Aleph, letter Tzadik, Kedai to see. He writes to a father about his daughter. The father was against the daughter's shidduch. So he writes that Ein Adam Chai La'olam. Listen to how he's writing to his man. He says, nobody lives forever. Soif Soif Yova Yoin Shekvoida Yamid Lufnei Bezin Shal Naila V'yishalu Vaisai Lama Amadu HaShafach Dama Shal Bitai. It's very strong lashon. In heaven they're going to ask you why you didn't let your daughter get engaged to this boy, you know, why you spilled her blood. V'chol HaTirutzim Shekvoida Magid Ba'olam Hazeh Kilu Mechavim L'tayv Az Bitai. And all the stories you're telling here that you're interested in her good, in heaven they know what's true. And you're doing it because it's the pastach nisht. The guy must have given in afterwards, no? So it's a strong lashon. And then look how he ends off. He writes, "Toif toif shekvayde yafsi kisnak dusai, vali yishbach dam bitai." So it'll be better if you stop up opposing the shidduch. Don't spill your daughter's blood. Shehi bas talmud chacham gadol. Shehi bas talmud chacham gadol. Is this a stira to Reb Chaim? I'm going to leave you with the questions at play. It's a stira, no? Reb Chaim says, you can't shtar someone's shidduch. Impossible. He's writing that in Shemayim they're going to say, you spilled the blood of your daughter. You're stopping your shidduch. For no good reasons. Okay. We'll answer it some other time. A good Shabbos.